All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy, what is it, Tuesday? It's only Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Today is March 3rd, 2026. And yesterday, I sat in disbelief as the market completely shrugged off the conflict in the Middle East. Some stocks even closed in the green, and oil was only up a couple of bucks. Everybody was just like, oh, yeah, that little thing, nobody cares. Well, that was nice while it lasted, because this morning, good God, we've got precious metals are getting crushed. We've got stocks are selling off, not just in the United States. Worldwide stocks are selling off, in particular in South Korea. That's interesting. Some interesting stocks that participated in the sell-off in South Korea yesterday we'll talk about. We've got interest rates are rising. Inflation fears are coming back. Why are inflation fears coming back? Because oil and gas prices are spiking and energy feeds into the cost of everything. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. It's just one of those days, guys. The market has done a complete 180 from the flippant approach it took to the conflict in Iran yesterday. And today, it's a whole different ballgame out there. The attacks across the Middle East are continuing here. We've got refineries in the UAE have been hit. The U.S. Embassy in Saudi Arabia was hit. We do have reports of U.S. casualties, civilian casualties elsewhere in the Middle East. I'm sure there's plenty of casualties in Iran. We've got metal factories, chemical factories in Qatar are shutting down. The Iranians are just blowing up everything they can. And they're hitting everything they can. Ships are generally not traversing the Strait of Hormuz. Most ships are not. You've got a couple of boats, according to Salmer Cagliano, from what's going on with shipping. A couple of boats have just decided to go full Leroy Jenkins and turn off the AIS and run the Strait. But several ships have been hit as well. You've got container rates, particularly for supertanker, the rates to transport oil around the world. Just hit an all-time high, in particular the index that connects the Middle East and China. Insurance carriers are just canceling their war risk protection, so it's getting a lot more expensive to move oil. Container rates are also rising up. We still have that question about the Red Sea and the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Are Houthi and the Blowfish going to start blowing things up again over there? Well, that would hit container rates as well as tanker rates. All this is going on right now. And look, a lot of people are out there on X this morning and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, if you have a flight to safety, why isn't gold going up? Why are interest rates rising? Well, guys, we don't have a flight to safety going on right now. We have a flight to cash. People are running to cash. That looks a lot like a liquidity event. It really does. And a liquidity event and a flight to safety, two totally different animals. This looks a lot more like the post-Liberation Day panic that we got back in April. Not that bad yet, but hey, it's only the second day. Remember the post-Liberation Day panic? Liberation Day was April 2nd, I think, last year, and it didn't really hit its peak until the Treasury and the Fed finally rolled over and the taco was on April 9th. So that was about a week-long liquidity event. We could be in the early innings of something like that here. And again, the fog of war is still so thick. It's too hard to tell what's going on. Is this going to be a long conflict? I mean, it was pretty obvious yesterday based on the amount of ordnance that was getting past the interceptors, that this was not going to be over in a day. Although that's what the market was signaling, it didn't really match what my eyes and ears were telling me. So even as this is all going on, we have this other thing that we have to keep an eye on. And this was all the rage before war broke out in the Middle East, but we got to mention it, private credit. That story has not gone away. And when we're seeing a liquidity event or the early innings of a liquidity event, I can't help but notice this big pile of bad debt in the private credit industry that has to be contributing to that. I don't know what percentage of what we're seeing is being driven by Iran and what percentage is being driven by private credit. It's probably mostly Iran, but I wouldn't discount what is happening in the private credit environment. We've got Blackstone's marquee fund, the BCRED, their big private credit firm. Remind you, that's Blackstone. Don't get your blacks crossed. We'll get to BlackRock in a moment. But Blackstone, redemption request for their BCRED fund hit 7.9%. Now, BlackRock is like, don't worry, all is well. We met all the redemptions, and that's fine. That's good that you met redemptions. When your investors want their money back, you should give it to them. What do you want, a cookie? You're supposed to give your investors their money back when they want it. But that being said, that's the same way things started with Blue Owl. Remember last December, we heard about how Blue Owl redemptions had gone as high as 15% or 17% in one case. And Blue Owl was like, don't worry, we're giving everybody their money back. Well, fast forward a couple of weeks and Blue Owl completely gated redemptions permanently. So it's not just one fund. It's not just the software. It's not just the citrinisms going on in the markets, guys. This is across the board in private credit here. You're going to see more articles where they try to say, oh, worries about AI disruption in software. Oh, really? Then why are the AI stocks selling off too? Because maybe that whole narrative about AI and software was really just bunk. You know, they latched onto one thing that made the AI bubble look good. And they're like, that's why this massive pile of debt that includes cockroaches from every sector of the economy is going bad. Now, even as all this is happening, you've got BlackRock. Okay, now we're onto the other dark mineral. BlackRock is out in the press saying ETFs are no longer enough. We need more of this illiquid private asset dog shit in the 401k. Gee, do you think just maybe this has something to do with the fact that they have a mountain of this stuff that they really need to get off of their books? You think just maybe Wall Street is so corrupt that they would purposely sell you something that they know is next to worthless just so they don't have to take the hit? Has anybody seen Margin Call? Man, that was a good movie. That's happening in real life in the private asset market. I've been warning about it for a year. More warnings about that today. And we got to check in with the AI bubble. The United States is considering capping the number of NVIDIA H200 GPUs that they sell to Chinese customers at 75,000. And for some reason, this is news because right now these Chinese customers have bought 0 million, 0,000, 0,100, and zero. They haven't bought any of them. Why are we talking about capping something they're not even buying? I don't get it. And why would the Chinese buy the H200s? They're having no trouble getting their hands on Blackwells, which is illegal. NVIDIA sells it to them anyway, playing stupid, using third parties and intermediaries in Malaysia and Singapore. This whole narrative of the H200 has been incredibly stupid, but they're talking about that today. Bloomberg is admonishing Amazon for wasting money on AI capex. Gee, where have you been for the last 2.5 years, Bloomberg? That stock is down 10% year to date. We got earnings from Target and Best Buy this morning. Neither company really posted great results. They were okay. There's a lot of narrative about these guys are turning the corner. I'm looking around in the market, and both stocks are doing pretty good this morning. I look at what's happening in the market. I'm not about to pile into brick-and-mortar retailers, especially not brick-and-mortar retailers that have underperformed an already underperforming sector for the last 5 years. But a lot of people are buying those stocks this morning for some reason. And we got to wrap up the show. Shout out to my friend Pasta Man who sent me this one, a commercial real estate update. This tower in San Francisco just handed their CMBS investors a 58% loss on a tranche of bond that used to be at one point AAA rated. Now, admittedly, I don't work in the finance industry, so I'm not really like down with goings on in the CMBS market, and I don't know all the acronyms and all the phrases, and I don't hang out at the same clubs as these finance guys. But isn't AAA supposed to mean you're not going to lose more than half your money? Isn't that the whole point of AAA? Somebody correct me if I'm wrong out there. I'm just a guy in Pennsylvania that runs his mouth every morning on YouTube. But I'm pretty sure AAA means you're not going to lose half your money in 5 years. And yet, there it is. Oh, that's right. Commercial real estate. That other bubble. That's still going on. That other illiquid pile of dog shit that they're still trying to sell to unsuspecting retail investors. Yeah, we got to talk about that one too. Guys, we got a lot to cover this morning. It is a busy day, a heck of a day. In the world of finance, why don't we shrink my big melon of your head? Let's see what's going on. Don't forget the like button and the subscribe button. And don't forget the link down below to George Noble's Best Stock Ideas Summit, where yours truly will be presenting on March 11th. Hey, that's only a couple of days from now. Get your tickets now. Right now, the S&P 500 is lower by 128 points, 1.86%, and I think it's got further to fall. We're just off the lows in the morning, and we'll look at what's going on worldwide in a second, guys. It's rough out there today. The Dow is down 950 points. We're coming up on 1,000 down, and the bell hasn't even rung yet. 1.92% in the red. Oh, the things we've seen, and it's only 9:13 in the morning. The NASDAQ is also down 550 points, 2.2% in the red for the NASDAQ. Now, I mentioned this worldwide sell-off, guys. Take a look here from Kobayashi letter. Global stock markets post the largest declines in months as Brent oil prices surge above 85 a barrel, and Trump says the U.S. can fight forever. Let's not fight forever. I just throw that out there. But South Korea, the biggest losses at 8%. We'll talk about that in a minute. Japan lost 6%. South Africa, 6%. Germany, 5%. Spain, 5%. Italy, 4%. UK, 4%. France, 3%. And then, of course, China, too. They're talking about the NASDAQ. Guys, the whole market is selling stocks right now, the whole world. Right? This is not just a U.S. thing. Now, let's talk about what happened in South Korea in particular. World's hottest stock market suddenly blows cold with a 7% tumble. It was actually a little bit more than 7. Closed Monday for a national holiday and briefly insulated from heavy selling elsewhere, the South Korean stock market reopened Tuesday with heavy losses. The KOSPI, the world's best performing equity index in 2026, succumbed to heavy profit taking with a 7% correction, forcing the market regulators to implement a short-term suspension of program trading at one point when circuit breakers were triggered. In other words, they locked everybody in the stock market. Nobody's allowed to sell. Weaknesses in stocks was compounded by a drop in the Korean won, which fell 1.3% against the dollar. We'll look at the Dixie in a minute here. The dollar is stronger this morning as well. This is amid overall risk-off sentiment towards emerging market currencies and a safe haven bid for the U.S. currency. The spike in crude prices since the U.S.-Israeli strike on Iran Saturday is also distinctly negative. South Korea ranks the world's largest importers of crude oil, requiring about 2.7 million barrels a day, with around 70% of its supplies coming from the Middle East. Leading the falls, look at the stocks that led the declines here. Samsung Electronics down 9.8%. SK Hynix off by 11.5%. Those are the world's largest memory chip makers whose shares tumbled quite a bit there, 9.8% and 11.5%. So the best performing stocks in the world, the memory chips, led the sell-off today. All right, now look, there's two ways you could look at that. When the selling hits its peak, the stock that is up the most is arguably the first place people look because they go to take their profits, all right? It's a natural selling ground. That being said, the memory stocks are not going to stay up at these valuations forever. What's going on in memory and the displacement because of the AI bubble, right? At some point, that's going to reverse, and it's going to reverse violently. I don't know if that's what's going on here, or maybe this is just natural profit taking from a sector that's done really well. But at some point, memory is going to make a sharp reversal. Maybe that's what we just saw. The DXY is sharply higher once again this morning, 99.32, higher by 76 basis points, just off the highs of the day and rising. Bond yields almost worldwide are up. Now, bond yields were up a lot more yesterday, but we are looking at something like 16 to 18 basis points across 2 days in the 10-year Treasury. Yields higher this morning. The 30-year yield, 4.738. That's higher by almost 4 basis points. The 10-year, 4.117, higher by 6.5, almost 7 points. The 2 years at 3.549, higher by 6 points and change. And the 1 month is actually down a fraction of a percent here at 3.696. Bond yields are off their highs again, guys. Yields moving higher. That is bond prices moving lower. Let's take a look at Bitcoin. It has reversed and is going lower now. 67,051 for Bitcoin, off by about 1,700 bucks versus yesterday. That big green candle in Bitcoin yesterday made no sense whatsoever to me. A little bit of a return to normal now in Bitcoin. And looking over at the commodities board, this one has got a lot of people shaking their heads this morning. You got war breaking out. You got panic everywhere. And gold and silver are down? Well, yeah. The only way to explain that is this is a run to cash, not a flight to safety, a run to cash. This is a liquidity, a dollar shortage, and people are selling everything. Spot gold down $175, $5,148, giving up all of its gains from yesterday and then some, off by 3.25%. April COMEX gold futures at $51.56. That's down by another $154, 2.9% lower. Oh my goodness, look at silver, $82.20. $82.20, off by another $7.15. Look at the intraday range here from 91 to 77. Silver's down something like 14 bucks in the last 18 hours, currently off by 8.15%. May COMEX futures not looking any better at 82.26, lower by $6.60 or 7.5%. I still like the shiny, guys, but we're going to look at the silver chart in a minute. It is looking pretty ugly here. That is not a good look. That candle it put in yesterday worries me. Copper lower by 2.1%. Platinum lower by almost 9%. Palladium lower by 6.2%. And crude oil, we're going to look at that chart. Crude is ripping this morning. WTI crude is up $6.60, 9.3% higher at $77.85. While we're on this subject, we've got Brent crude at $84.76, higher by $7. Natural gas futures in the U.S. are higher by $7. We're going to look at those European gas futures in a second. Energy costs are blowing out. That's got people worried about inflation. That's leading to higher bond yields. People are selling stocks. People are running to cash here. Look at the silver chart. All right, this, guys, this is ugly. The silver chart was looking so good up until a day ago. It was looking so good. We were breaking out from that dead cat bounce on February 4th. Nope, we just lost it. And not only did we lose that, but we lost the 50-day moving average. That is an ugly-looking couple of candles that silver just put in here, guys. Be careful. I like the shiny. I think long-term silver is going higher, but in the short term, this does not look good, not at all. 81.96 and falling. Looking over at Dutch TTF natural gas futures, as soon as these pop-up windows go away, another big spike here today, 57.84 euros per megawatt hour. That is the second big spike. We're sitting here at 57.84 when we closed last week at 31.79 or so. So let's see, 57.84 over 31.79. We are up 82% in natural gas prices in Europe over the last 2 days. Tell me again about all the data centers they're going to build in Europe, about all the French and the British are going to build data centers so that they have their sovereign AI and they can compete with the United States. Oh, yeah? What are you going to power it with? Good intentions? Good luck with that one. Europe paying the price for years of energy insanity this morning once again. And looking over at the oil market again, another big candle here. A lot of volatility. Again, that candle yesterday, let's zoom in a little bit. You know, we had that big gap up at the open yesterday, and then oil went just sharply lower. I was really surprised, guys. And I tweeted this. The freaking Strait of Hormuz was closed yesterday, and oil was up by like $3. That's just defies reality, all right? And I was talking about this, like, if this had happened in 2022, Kathy Wood would be on CNBC pumping a startup that makes biodiesel out of capybara shit. But instead, oil was up $3 yesterday. Well, we're up another $6.50 today, $77.54 for WTI crude. A lot of volatility here, guys. Look, there's only so much oil in the world that is on the water right now. And, you know, heading into this conflict, we were talking, there was like 1.2 billion barrels. Forgive me, Mish, I forget the numbers we talked about this morning. But you've got like 10 days of oil, 12 days of oil at sea right now on tankers, 10 to 12 days worth of global oil supply. All right, that's only going to last you so long. And every couple of days that this conflict goes on, another day worth of oil supply has not reached market because 20% of the world's oil flows through the Strait of Hormuz. We'll look in a second. It's effectively closed, even though a few tankers are brave enough to make the run. Most are not. So the longer this goes on, the worse this is going to get. All right. And, you know, as much as yesterday, everybody was like, everything's fine, relax. Today, everybody's panicking. Are we going to be everybody fine tomorrow again? Or are we going to be panicking again tomorrow? I don't know. Volatility, obviously, here to stay in the short term. And again, looking at marine traffic, this is the Strait of Hormuz on the screen here, up here. This is Iran to the north. You've got Oman and the UAE here. This is the narrow stretch of water. Not a lot of boat traffic transiting here. All these red dots, those are crude tankers or just tankers of whatever. Tankers sitting there. If they're dots, they're not moving. If they're arrows, they're underway. Nobody at the moment is trying to transit the Strait. And if they are trying to transit the Strait, they're switching off their transponders so nobody can see them do it and lob a drone at them. So there may be a few brave captains out there who are not keen on spending the next couple of months trapped in the Persian Gulf, going around in circles, dodging drones. And maybe they're just deciding they're going to run the gauntlet and hope for the best. But in the meantime, there's not a lot of cargo getting in or out of the Middle East here. And Bloomberg has some of the details. War expands as U.S. and Israel and Iran ramp up strikes across the region. U.S.-Israeli war on Iran reverberated across the region for a fourth day, with oil and gas prices surging and the world adjusting to a conflict that President Trump says has no fixed timeline. Iran sent a fresh wave of missiles at countries including Qatar, Bahrain, Oman that host U.S. bases, with Doha saying targets weren't limited to military interests, including the main airport. Israel said it struck the leadership compound in Tehran in an ongoing bombardment of the capital of the Islamic Republic and sent soldiers into southern Lebanon, where the Iran-aligned Hezbollah militia is based. Two drones struck near the U.S. Embassy in Riyadh overnight, causing limited damage. An advisor to Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps told State TV that they will set fire to any ship attempting to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, a vital shipping lane. China, which buys most of Iran's oil, urged all sides to ensure safe passage of ships through the waterway, especially because China's already starting to shut down their refineries because the Middle East oil is not going to reach them. So some of that marginal refining capacity in China and also India is starting to shut down for maintenance. That will only get worse with time. Those are the countries that are really import most of that Middle East oil. Obviously, South Korea and their stock market taking a big hit because they import a lot of oil. Global benchmark Brent spiked to $85 a barrel for the first time since July of 2024 after rising 7% on Monday. European gas prices surged as much as 32% on Tuesday morning. Qatar Energy halted the production of some chemicals and metal after Iranian attacks forced the shutdown of its major liquefied natural gas plant. We've even seen aluminum prices go up about 3.5% because Qatar supplies a lot of the world's aluminum. There's worries about fertilizer supplies because a lot of the world's ammonium comes out of there. Falling debris from an intercepted drone caused a major fire at a UAE oil trading hub in Fujairah. U.S. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth rejected the idea of an endless war with Iran on Monday, but Trump later said the campaign could go on far longer than an initial 4 or 5 week projection, adding that the U.S. will do whatever it takes, but refused to rule out putting American boots on the ground. Though Trump told News Nation he didn't think that would be necessary. That would just be the worst case scenario, boots on the ground in Iran. I think that's very far-fetched. They won't rule it out because nobody's ever going to go on TV and say, I'll do this but not this, and give the enemy exactly what they need to plan for. But I think we probably can rule out boots on the ground in the short term, at least. Iran's Red Crescent has reported 787 people killed in the Islamic Republic so far. 6 U.S. soldiers have died in the conflict and about a dozen people in Israel. Based on what I'm seeing, guys, in the video, I think those numbers are all going to rise dramatically. So if you were hoping for a speedy end of this conflict, it's probably not coming. Meanwhile, oil supertanker rates hit all-time high as insurers drop war risk protection in the Middle East. Oil supertanker costs in the Middle East climbed to their highest level on record as conflicts between the U.S. and Iran disrupt shipping through the strategically vital Strait of Hormuz. Major marine war risk providers have started to scrap coverage for vessels operating in the Persian Gulf as the fallout from a sudden security shock hobbles key shipping routes in the region. The benchmark freight rate for very large crude carriers, or VLCCs, used to ship about 2 million barrels of oil from the Middle East to China, hit an all-time high of $423,736 per day on Monday, almost $500,000 a day to operate one of these carriers now, because the insurance costs have basically gone vertical, if you can even get insurance. That marked an increase of more than 94% from Friday's close. The cost to move crude out of the Middle East has more than doubled, and I think it's probably going higher, and I think it's irrelevant. You just can't move it at this point. It's just going nowhere. So that was where we're at in the Middle East right now. But guys, we have this whole other crisis going on that we can't ignore, and that's private credit. This has been a thing. It's been getting worse steadily, and it's being drowned out in the headlines right now, but it keeps getting worse. Blackstone's flagship private credit fund hit by record redemptions. This one broke yesterday. Blackstone is allowing investors to redeem a record 7.9% of shares from its flagship private credit fund, the latest sign of unease in an industry that's faced a wave of withdrawals. The firm is meeting the requests, which are equivalent to around $3.8 billion, by increasing the size of a previously announced tender offer to buy 7% of the fund's total shares, and by stepping in alongside employees to offset the remaining 0.9%, according to a filing and a spokesperson. The fund has around $82 billion of total assets, including leverage, the filing shows. These investments were about meeting 100% of requests for the quarter with certainty and timeliness, the Blackstone spokesperson said. Blah, blah, blah. They underscore our conviction. A lot of people want their money back. That's what's going on here. Now, so far, they're getting it, $3.8 billion, but Blackstone has had to jump through a couple of hoops to make that happen. The withdrawals exceed the 5% quarterly limit typically allowed by the fund, like funds like BCRED, which have become popular avenues to sell private credit to individual investors. Managers can typically increase the size of those quarterly offers by an additional 2 percentage points without formally reopening the tender. BCRED continues to deliver strong performance results for its investors, with a 9.8% annualized total return since inception for Class I shares, a 360 basis point premium to leveraged loans, the spokesperson said. I wonder how much of that return was payment in kind interest. Yeah, they like to hide their losses in payment in kind. Recent developments and warnings have fed into the broader concern about private credit. Investors in a Blue Owl Capital fund, for example, focused on technology, redeemed shares worth about 15% of its net assets in the most recent quarter, while another fund managed by the firm had opted to halt quarterly redemptions and started selling assets to return capital to investors. So this is not just a Blue Owl thing. Now it has spread to Blackstone. And as Blackstone is struggling to meet redemptions, they're still meeting them, BlackRock says, let's hurry up and sell more of this crap to retail investors. BlackRock says index funds alone aren't enough for U.S. retirees. BlackRock has called for more active management and the inclusion of private assets in 401ks, contending index investing alone is no longer sufficient to manage risk and fund retirements that can now stretch for decades. There needs to be an evolution away from this being indexed only, said Nick Nefaus, global head of retirement solutions at the firm, in a phone interview. The markets are evolving to a point where there needs to be more of an oversight. Really? You want more oversight? Says the guy who's trying to sell illiquid, overvalued crap to people who have no idea what they're buying. Yeah, let's get some more oversight. The world's largest asset manager published research on Tuesday arguing that a defined contribution plan, such as a 401k, should no longer be considered a nest egg, but rather a paycheck for life that potentially includes guaranteed income. The firm is looking to include actively managed and private assets alongside index funds. And this is some serious, semantically irrelevant bullshit that they're pushing right here. Oh, we don't want to call it a nest egg. Oh, no, a nest and eggs. Those are things you protect, that you worry about losses. No, we want a paycheck for life. In other words, let's go chase yield by buying illiquid dog shit that claims to be paying a high return, but really you're just losing your principal. See, when we change the semantics from nest egg to paycheck for life, all of a sudden we're just kind of like willing to accept more risk and we're less worried about losses. Convenient for people trying to sell risky crap, isn't it? Asset managers such as Apollo and Blackstone have been lobbying for the inclusion of private assets in defined contribution plans. Their efforts got a boost last year when President Trump made a huge mistake, in my opinion, when he issued an executive order aimed at paving the way for more non-traditional investments in 401k plans. A formal proposal is expected soon. Guys, they're not waiting around for formal proposals. They're not waiting around for executive orders. They're already doing this. So just be careful and know what's in your 401k. Meanwhile, U.S. considers capping NVIDIA H200 trips at $75,000 per Chinese customer. Why is this front page news today on all of the websites? This is stupid because Chinese firms have bought none H200s. And now we're like, you can only have 75,000 per person, which may be difficult in addition to their current ordering of none. I don't know why we're talking about this. This is stupid. They're not going to buy H200s because they're breaking the law and they're buying Blackwells. Why would you buy the old stuff and the neutered stuff when these guys are perfectly willing, in violation of U.S. laws, to just sell you the good stuff? Dumb article. But by the way, I'm short NVIDIA. Yeah, I've been short NVIDIA for a while now. $178.72 for NVIDIA. It's down 2%. Somehow this stock was green yesterday. But again, NVIDIA done a whole bunch of nothing since pretty much the beginning of August. And speaking of doing a whole bunch of nothing, Amazon's extreme AI spending sends the stock to the worst month in years. Anybody notice the change in the narrative here over at Bloomberg? Amazon may be a leader in the artificial intelligence race, but investors are increasingly unwilling to pay up for the cost of maintaining that position. Shares of the e-commerce and cloud computing giant plunged 12% in February, their worst month since December of 2022. Yikes. As Wall Street takes an increasingly jaundiced view of the company's aggressive AI spending plans, not only are the capital expenditures eating into Amazon's free cash flow, but market pros are growing impatient about when they'll pay off in a dramatic fashion. They won't. The stock also was the worst performer of the so-called Mag 7, last month and among the 40 weakest companies in the S&P 500. And that's coming off a tepid 5.2% gain in 2025, which was the weakest return in the Mag 7 as well. Amazon is starting to look like a cautionary tale because its investments are so high, but the returns are among the lowest in big tech, said Adam Rich, who helps oversee more than $15 billion in assets. The growth we're seeing just isn't enough to justify the higher CapEx. The cash spigot opened again on Friday as Amazon said it would invest $50 billion in OpenAI. As part of the circular nature of the deal, OpenAI will also spend an additional $100 billion over 8 years under its current agreement with AWS. Much of the recent weakness comes on the heels of Amazon's earnings report from early February that included plans to spend $200 billion this year on data centers, chips, and other equipment to expand its computing capacity. The target was far more than expected and contributed to a disappointing forecast for the operating income, which completely overshadowed the fastest quarterly growth for AWS in more than 3 years. As a result of the spending, Amazon's free cash flow is expected to be negative $524 million in 2026, its first year of negative free cash flow since 2022. Remember how all the guys on CNBC are like, oh, don't worry, this AI build out, it's being supported by the big free cash flow of the Mag 7. Not anymore. Negative $524 million in free cash flow. It reported $7.7 billion free cash flow in 2025. Amazon is not the only mega cap tech company to have its spending come under scrutiny. Microsoft similarly tumbled after revealing a jump in CapEx. CoreWeave, my favorite company, plunged 19% on Friday, its biggest drop since August, after reporting a higher than expected CapEx target and a wider than expected loss. Nobody wants CapEx anymore. Nobody wants this spending. And you wonder why I'm short NVIDIA. Amazon stock is down 2.3% now. It's down 9.7% year to date. And again, look at this. Over the last year or so, this stock has gone freaking nowhere. Now negative over the last 12 months, including that big dip that we took in February on that jump in CapEx. All right. How are we doing on time here? We're doing all right. Target says it's on track to end its sales slump after another lackluster quarter. Look, I've been hearing this for a couple of months that Target says we're on track. We're going to turn the ship around. These guys have had like 12 to 15 really bad quarters in a row, but they're saying it's about to get better. Let's see if we can get some of the numbers here. Earnings per share, 244 versus 216 expected. All right, so they beat top line, or they beat on the bottom line, 30.45 billion versus 30.48 billion in revenue. Slight miss on the top line here. This is Amazon's net sales change or net sales over the last few years. What you can see is they've been flat to negative pretty much since the end of 2021 because inflation has killed them. For four quarters in a row, customer traffic across the company's stores and website has fallen, but they say it's going to get better. And right now, people seem to believe them. Target stock is up 3.3% ahead of the opening bell, $116.70. But look at this one over the last 5 years. Yeah, this has been dead money for 5 years, down 35% since the end of 2021. Now, Best Buy is pretty interesting too. I'm not really sure what happened with Best Buy, but this one was ripping ahead of the open. They reported really big jumps in income. I'm not really sure where that came from. Best Buy's holiday sales disappoint, but the retailer shows progress in growing profits. Best Buy posted mixed results on Tuesday as the retailer's holiday quarter sales declined and came in below Wall Street's expectations, but its earnings topped estimates as it showed improved profitability. Now, here we're seeing they anticipate their comps are going to be plus or minus 1%, basically flat for the year. Now, here's what's really got me scratching my head this morning. Even though their revenue was negative, Best Buy reported a net income that jumped to $541 million from $117 million a year ago. All right, there's something in there that makes that not comparable because there's no way with similar revenue that you suddenly had a quadrupling in profits. Either they spun something off, sold some assets, laid off a bunch of people. There's something we can't see here that's making these not comparable. But for whatever reason, Best Buy stock up 8% here. I'm not rushing out to buy Best Buy. It's not really on the top of my shopping list. I don't think in a tough consumer environment where inflation is going to come back, people are going to run out and buy electronics. So this one's having a pretty good morning, though. And last one we got to talk about, guys, you know, there's all these other stories that have been lurking out there for years, and they're still going on. The losses are still happening, even though you don't really hear a lot about it. Real estate bond investors suffer a $139 million loss on San Francisco office tower. The commercial real estate bubble that is still out there, even though people have been calling a bottom for 5 years. Money managers who piled into a $240 million commercial mortgage bond tied to a San Francisco office building were hit with significant losses in recent weeks after the underlying loan was sold at a steep discount. Shout out to my man, Pasta Man, who sent me this story. Buyers on the CMBS, backed by the mortgage on 600 California Street, a 20-story office building in the city's financial district, got less than half of their original investment back after the loan sale left just $101 million to distribute to investors, according to debt documents. The damage reached what were once considered the safest slices of the deal. Six junior classes were wiped out. They lost 100% in those junior classes. Even the second most senior bonds, which were originally rated AA by S&P Global and AAA by Morningstar, lost more than 40% of their principal. More than $12 million in interest also went unpaid. Look at that, guys. A AAA rated second senior secured slice of this bond lost 40% of their principal. It's almost like that AAA rating was never accurate to begin with. Oh my, you mean the ratings agencies are just rubber stamping stuff AAA rated? And this rating was in 2019. It wasn't that long ago. The episode underscores how aging U.S. office towers hollowed out by remote work have become a hazard for bondholders. 600 California Street was just 26% leased when the loan changed hands in December. Don't you love the glasses half full approach there? It's 26% leased. Yeah, it's definitely not, 74% vacant. No, it's 26% leased, okay, according to real estate brokerage firm Newmark, which arranged the sale to private equity firm Lone Star Funds. Bonds backed by a single mortgage on a property known as Single Asset Single Borrower, or SASB CMBS, that's a mouthful, are particularly exposed, market watchers say. What do we have here? The top-ranked slices of mortgage-backed securities tied... Okay, they're talking about other buildings, other losses here. Look, guys, this just goes to show you, these were supposed to be safe investments, AAA-rated CMBS, stuff that's sold usually to pension funds, usually to retirement income investors. They're sold to these safe ETFs, the low-risk options in your 401ks, just lost 48% of their money. So how safe were they really? Is it really? I just want to say thank you very much to Break My Wallet Motorsports, who says 3-2-1 crack spread up 100% since Friday. All right. I don't really speak, refining here, but I know crack spreads refers to how much money you're making by refining this much diesel versus this much high octane gasoline or heating oil. I can tell you diesel prices are blowing out worldwide here. So I bet you the refiners are doing really well here. I'm pretty sure that's what you're saying there, but I don't speak fluent refinery, so I can't say for sure Break My Wallet. But thank you, sir, for being a Melonhead member for the last 20 months. Real Estate Mindset says fight. Hopefully not forever, brother. Can't go on forever. We're burning through a lot of missiles and a lot of interceptors. Excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Speaking of the duration of this fight, guys, very soon we're going to have to make a decision because you can only defend so much airspace. All right. I mean, ballistic missiles and interceptors is always a conflict that favors the aggressor. It's really hard to shoot down something traveling several hundred miles per hour in midair. And so we're going to have to decide, are we going to protect all of the oil infrastructure? Are we going to protect the population centers? Are we going to protect our military bases? You can't protect it all. We're going to have to start to triage this stuff. All right. Now, every time a missile is fired, our fighters are operating with impunity over Iranian airspace. It's a game of whack-a-mole. The Iranian missile launchers, these mobile launchers, they're doing shoot and scoot. They pop up, they fire off, and then they run. And then our fighters scramble to take them out before they can get back into their hole. That is pretty much what's going on right now. It is a missile war of attrition. We're trying to hunt down these launchers. We're trying to defend against the missiles that do get launched. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. I really don't. But it's not going to be over in a day or two. That seems pretty obvious, even though the market was trying to tell us that yesterday. Thank you, Real Estate Mindset, for supporting the channel. Sir, Uncle Fedster, gifted 5 Nobody Special Finance memberships. Thank you so much, Uncle Fedster, for supporting the channel. Welcome to the Melon Heads, you five baby melons. Be sure and say thank you to Uncle Fedster. Travis is back again. He says, is there such a thing as a stupidity bubble? A stupidity bubble. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say there is. And you know, look, people were paying up about this time last year, or it was actually over the summer. People were bidding up shares in companies like Okto, you know, ticker Orbs. It was this bankrupt software company that decided all of a sudden Tom Lee and Danny Ives get together and they say, now we're a WorldCoin treasury company because Sam Altman says his OpenAI is going to be so successful that everybody loses their job and they're going to roll out universal basic income. And his shitcoin is the perfect mechanism for that. And people bid up Okto Holdings by like 1,300% in a day. I remember covering that in the morning and saying, guys, what the hell? This is going to go right to zero. And shockingly, it went to zero. So yeah, there is a stupidity bubble. There's a lot of people out there who fancy themselves investors who don't realize all they've been doing is riding a tidal wave of printed money, bidding up the price of everything, and they think they're stock pickers because of that. That's going to end in tears for those guys. Should have bought gold. What can I say? Thank you, Real Estate Mindset, for supporting the channel, sir. Leercy, what's going on, says, I'm tired, boss. Is this what winning feels like? Nobody wins a war of attrition. No, this isn't what winning feels like. By the way, I have a theory. Whoever blows up Karg Island is the one who's going to lose this fight. Karg Island is the island where most of the Iranian oil leaves. And since regime change is pretty much either the implicit or explicitly stated goal of this, if the U.S. blows up Karg Island, it means we are not going to be successful in changing the regime. And we don't want the existing Ayatollah regime to have the oil income anymore. If it looks like we win, whatever that looks like, or if it's starting to look like the Iranian regime is going to topple, I suspect the IRGC will scuttle the ship and blow up their own oil infrastructure so that the incoming regime that just toppled them doesn't have access to that revenue. Either way, I think at some point Karg Island is going to go kablooey, and whoever blows it up is probably on the losing side of this conflict. That's just my theory on how that's going to play out. Thank you, Leercy, for supporting the channel. I'm tired too, boss. Travis is back again, says, what is more dangerous, the flu or a politician? Well, didn't the politicians make the flu? Isn't that what happened the last time? Oh, did I just get my channel banned? Are we allowed to say that? Or did I just, like, lose my job because I said that? No. What was the line? Some guy ate a bat, and that's where it came from? Yeah. Maybe they're one and the same, Travis. Maybe the politicians are the virus. Crazy stuff. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Break My Wallet Motorsports says, seeing a pattern, stocks down overnight and then go back up during the day. Any thoughts? Yeah, I did see that the last 2 days. It's kind of like the inverse metals. You see metals rise during the night and then they sell off in the day, although not so much last night. Let's check in here. We were down almost 1,000 when we were talking before in the Dow. Now we're down over 1,000. All right, we've got a K. So No dip buyers this morning, at least not yet. We'll see what happens around lunchtime. But for now, the selling is continuing. Break My Wallet. Look, all the world indexes were down 2 to as much as 8% yesterday. So it's a good bet the U.S. is going to sell off at least that 2%, maybe even 3 or 4. Maybe we see a circuit breaker today. I don't know. But it's volatile out there. Be careful, guys. Thank you, Break My Wallet, for supporting the channel. No, hey, Pasta Man, thanks for the story about CMBS, by the way. He says, silver going to hold value better than AAA CRE bonds. Yup, that is correct. Even if you bought silver at 120, you're still doing better than the people who bought that safe AAA rated CMBS. Abso-freaking-lutely, Pasta Man. That being said, guys, the silver chart looks ugly in the short term. It was looking beautiful on Friday. It was looking so good. And then, well, the weekend happened, and now it doesn't look so good. So be careful on leverage, as always, guys. Thank you, Pasta Man, for supporting the channel, sir. Espresso Beanies 8930 says, would it be safe to say DJT stock and Trump meme coin trade as sentiment indicators hinting at market direction? Well, I guess I got to fully disclose I am short DJT. I went short DJT when the stock rallied 60%. On a freaking announcement that they were buying a publicly traded fusion company. Gag me with that stupidity. Like the True Social guys are going to create a little star suspended in a ball of plasma in a lab setting. Okay, good luck with that. DJT stock has since pretty much closed that gap, so I did all right on that trade. DJT, yeah, it's a meme stock. It's a meme coin. It's a cult. And, you know, I remember when I did that trade, somebody who I respect very much, a very experienced trader, told me never short a cult, Jack. And I told him, I said, yeah, never short a cult. That's good advice. But when you see the cult passing out Kool-Aid, it is okay to short it. And that's why I went short DJT when that stock rallied 60% on a freaking fusion deal. I remember just to talk about the stupidity bubble early on. By the way, Daniel Newman from the Futurum Group, this freaking Silicon Valley think tank who signed off on that deal. All right. For some reason, CNBC bought him in as some kind of technical expert to be like, oh, yeah, we looked at it and they could definitely make this happen. They could build a fusion power plant next year. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. A fusion power plant next year. The best we can do in a lab is maintain a mildly net positive fusion reaction for about a freaking thousandth of a second. And that's using a different technology than TAE Technologies was using. That was just so stupid. It was peak stupidity. So to answer that other question from before, yes, there is a stupidity bubble and we in it. Now that said, is it hinting at market direction? I wouldn't take market signals from DJT. It's a stupid company. It was a layup of a short, but I wouldn't take any market signals from it. Espresso Beanies, thank you for supporting the channel, man. I really ranted on that one. Sorry guys. Hey, Nacho Man, thank you for the 20 baby melons. He gifted 20 Nobody Special Finance memberships. Thank you so much, Nacho Man, for the support of the channel. So guys, who was the other? It was Nacho Man and it was It was Nacho Man and Uncle Fedster. Be sure and say thank you to Nacho Man and Uncle Fedster if you got one of those memberships. Appreciate you guys growing the ranks of the melon heads. KDM28 says security increased. Traffic backed up 2 miles at local base entrance. Yeah, guys, security is going to be increased everywhere. All right, checkpoints at the airport, it's going to take longer. Security at bases, security at public events. All right, like, you know, we're expect something. I don't want to will it into existence, but let's not be surprised if something happens. So plan on taking longer to get through security wherever you're going and keep your head on a swivel. That's all. Thank you, KDM. Appreciate the support of the channel, sir. Big Mouth Barry says, what does Bob Coleman say about silver? I haven't heard from Bob since the weekend. When I last heard from Bob, he was in alignment with me that the silver chart looked really good. If I know Bob, I suspect that, like me, he has done a complete 180 since watching that breakdown at 92. But maybe we should check in with Bob. Maybe we should do another one today because the market's down $1,000. And who knows, by the end of the day, we might have a lot to talk about. So put a pin in that one, guys. Keep an eye on the channel. We might be doing something else later today, another live show perhaps. A markets in turmoil, if you will. Good question, Big Mouth Barry. We'll see if we can get Bob to weigh in on that one. Well, guys, it's going to be a volatile day. Wear a helmet. That's all I can tell you. Thank you very much, everyone, for the support of the channel in the super chats. Thank you guys for having your coffee with the melon heads. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button. Thank you also to my magnanimous melon heads on Patreon, YouTube, and buy me a coffee for supporting the channel. Links are down below. Don't forget your tickets to Jordan Noble's Best Idea Stock Summit. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big. And M&J, thank you. Yes, please, Bob.